about the release of the Holy Spirit who has come because God promised he would. And to see what is being done that began at Pentecost and is continuing today. Changed lives. The evidence of people who are now in Christ. We didn't want anything to do with it before. And now here it is, we've got other things that are more important because I have a new relationship. You can listen while the deacons take a benevolent offering, can't you? Turn with me to Psalm 16. This is the passage that Peter is quoting here in verses 25 through 28. I'm not going to preach my whole message today. It's an ongoing work of God's Spirit in my own life. See, I had some stuff ready, but God's Spirit said I got something else. You'd rather listen to Him than me, wouldn't you? I hope so. Psalm 16 is that portion of Scripture beginning at verse 8 through verse 11, which is the quote that Peter uses in his sermon as he reflects back on this whole thing about the resurrection and the coming. This is a messianic psalm. And by that we mean it's just what somebody was writing way long before the Messiah came, in anticipation of the Messiah. It's speaking about the Messiah long time before he arrived. That's what it is. And I've got this whole thing that I want to do over the next week or a couple weeks because it fits in. And I thought, we want to go through Acts, but how can we understand the work of the Holy Spirit unless we understand who the Holy Spirit is? So I've got 5 points from this psalm. We're not going to talk about them all today. I want to talk about the believer's prayer, verses 1 through 4. The believer's portion, verses 5 through 6. The believer's praise in verse 7. The believer's protection in verse 8. And then the believer's promise in verses 9 through 11. I've just given you a little bit of a heads up in terms of, so whether or not you come back next week and remember it, that's what we're going to be doing. Unless the Lord says, I got something else for you. But I want you to see in this first part here, the believer's prayer. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. It's a prayer. It's a prayer to God. The psalmist is recognizing, now, it's not known when this psalm was actually written. Some believe that it could have been in one of those military engagements that David had when he was reigning as king. Others believe that it was when David was being chased by King Saul for his very life. Most commentators believe that it's just a general prayer petitioning God for deliverance. Not in any one specific area of need, but daily. God, I'm calling on you today. For anything that's going to happen, I need you. That's kind of what he's looking at. I don't know what I'm going to encounter, but I know there's going to be stuff that I can't do in myself and my own strength. So I need you, God, he says, keep me safe. I think the King James uses the word preserve. I know a number of you ladies can't. can. Now, Robin likes to can, you know that. And there are occasions when we find out that what she has attempted to preserve, the seal, didn't work. You know, the little lid that, you know, you know that it's sealed because the little bump on the top, you know, goes like that, and you know it's sealed. Does it sound like that, Carol? Yeah, it does. Yeah. And then if you've got a whole bunch of them coming out of the canner, and then it sounds like that old percolator commercial, you know, going off of there. But we know it turns into a science project because there's that little green fuzzy stuff on top. That's when you know that it's no good, that it's not been preserved. David is asking, God, preserve me. Keep me safe. What are the things that you're going through today or this last week? Hannah, you got good news. Accepted to Western. No, to Central. I got to get it right. Whew. She thought, did I know something that she didn't? She got accepted to Central. But because of some budgetary cuts, she also heard that she's now unemployed. So what things are you struggling with? What things are you struggling with? Finances. It's tax time. Relationships, a wayward son or daughter, a family member. God, preserve me in those, is what he's asking the Lord to do for him that day. And every day, in an ongoing encounter with recognizing, Lord, I can't do this without you. You're the only one that I can turn to. You're the only one that can deliver me. He says here, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. It means protection. It means to build a hedge about the person. In the book of Ezekiel, God is speaking to Ezekiel, the prophet, and God is saying to Ezekiel, if there were only someone who could stand in the gap to be a hedge of protection around my people. God is that hedge of protection. God is that one who can be for you the refuge that you seek. This last fall, in talking with the teens, and we decided on Psalm 18:2, or 1 and 2, kind of as a theme verse. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That's the exact same thing of what he's speaking about here in Psalm 16. If as parents or youth you have received letters from emails, I often sign it how? Don't you read them? Points to ponder, but as I end it, stand rock solid. So I finally got this banner. To hang up for the kids, and it says, the Lord, my rock and fortress. That's what he asks us. David is praying, be my refuge. You're the only place in which I can get protection. In medieval days, when an approaching army was coming and threatening a kingdom, the surrounding villagers would do what? They'd run into the castle, wouldn't they? Because why? Because they knew that inside those walls, the king had given his word that he would protect them. And so they ran into the castle and it was closed and it became secure. That was their hope. And the psalmist is saying here, God, be that for me. Be the place that I can run and know that there's a hedge of protection about me that only you can provide. Jesus said to the disciples, I've got to go away. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Comforter will come. He will be that ever-present person with you in times of turmoil that you encounter in life, whatever it might be. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I take protection. I said to the Lord, you are my God, my Lord. You are my Lord. It means master or king. When was the last time you said that to the Lord? When was the last time? Because this is an acknowledgement that God is in control, that He is the one who is head above all. When was the last time we acknowledged that God, because He goes on to say here, apart from you, I have no good thing. It's acknowledging that God provides daily for what we need. It's an acknowledgement that God is in His rightful position as Lord and Master of my life. That He is the center of everything I do. Not just today I'm going to take this book off the shelf and use it for today and then I'm going to put it back up. But that every day He is for me the protection that I need. I put my finger in there for a reason, and then I took it out. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you see, this doesn't do anything for us, these elements. But the actual blood and body of Christ did. They preserve me. They give me the security that I need to know that when this body falls like David and is buried in the ground and it is rotting, that there will be a resurrection in the last day and I will be with the Lord forever. That is my refuge. And I have the indwelling, Romans 8:9, we looked at it earlier, because I have that confidence that because of faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit has been given to me. I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I don't belong to Him. But because I have His Spirit, and now not just to seal me, not just to secure eternity for me, but to help me live each day. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. You see, if we're walking after the Spirit, what do they say? That in business, 80% of your problems come by 20% of your employees. I mean, it's you know, a small minority of people are the ones that give you the majority of problems. David is saying here that it is the saints who are in the land that are my delight. You see, they don't cause any problems because they are obedient. They're also seeking God as refuge. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. For the Old Testament, it was Dagon, Baal. In the New Testament, great is Diana of the Ephesians. See, we don't have to have statues. It can be things. Whatever preempts God Himself are those idols that He speaks about here. And sorrows will increase because we're running after other gods. Paul says, I will not pour out their libations of blood. See, they would take a portion. They would either drink the blood from the sacrifice by itself, or they would mix it with wine and drink it as an offering to their God. He says, I won't do that. Matter of fact, it won't even be on my lips. I won't even speak their name. Why? Because we go back. Keep me safe, O God. For in you I take refuge, not in any other thing. We can think that who we are, or what we have, what we can do, that is sufficient enough to deliver us. But David is right. Keep in mind, he's king. He has all the power at his hand to unleash whatever he needs and the riches to do it. But he says, those don't mean anything because my refuge is in you. So what do you need today? What kind of refuge are you looking to? What keeps you, we learned in Sunday school, what keeps you from serving the Lord? And we come back to this. And next week we're going to pick up from here and talk again about this particular psalm in relation to Acts chapter 2 and the way in which Peter uses it, because there are some important things for us to glean about allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us today. Not waiting until, because the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, 16 and 13 and 14 and Ephesians 4, 30 tell us that the Holy Spirit has sealed us until the day of redemption. Now that just doesn't mean he's going to keep us secure until Christ returns. So they've got that home. But in between that time, when I trust Christ as Savior and when he returns, I've got this whole life that I have to live as well. And he helps keep me sealed in that as well, so that I'm living like a person who is part of a future kingdom. We're going to come back to this next week. Father, I have laid this all out to you and asked that I would just be your conduit. I don't know why you directed me to do today as I did, but I just felt that it was your Spirit's leading, and I pray that it would be something that someone needed to hear, something that we needed. Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just me needing to hear you speak. But I pray that this psalm that we look at, used by Peter on the day of Pentecost, in which 3,000 people, by the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, changed. That same power lives today in me and in each who have placed faith in Christ for change in who we are and what we do and what we say, how we live. But it begins by recognizing, as the psalmist did, that you are the all-sufficient one, the only place that we can run to for refuge in whatever circumstances we are going through. You're there to help. You're there for us to run to. You are there to provide us that anchor of security that we need when life is so desperate and events seem so chaotic. And there seems like no hope. But you are our hope. And I pray that today we'll begin to see that, so that as we continue in our study through the book of Acts, we will see that what was evident then can be seen and is being seen today around the world as people's lives are changed for eternity, even right here and now. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That morning in the locker room, those two men who profess, I would guess, to being saved, had no evidence of a light shining through them, of a change by the Holy Spirit who lives in them, if indeed he does. May we not be like that. So wherever we're at and whoever we're with, we'll see the power of the Holy Spirit changing us into the people you want us to be. Not so that people will notice us, but so they'll notice you. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name.